When it comes to love, the I's don't have it. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, there is no I in love. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, and it is not provoked. I don't have the ability to love that way, and you don't have the ability to love that way, but the Lord can do that through us. The only way you can defeat the flesh and the self, and the only way I can do that is through the cross of Jesus Christ.
He can heal every scar.
In the New Testament, we read that the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church that the source of all of their problems was the lack of love, with their big issue being selfishness. It was all about them. But genuine love is just not that way. That's why the title of today's message is, There is No I in Love. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today, he's going to share three characteristics of godly love and how important it is to examine our hearts and take stock of the way we love others. The message is from Pastor Jeff's new 5-message series, The Greatest of These is Love. And it's also our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we depend on those who love this ministry and love being helped by this ministry and love joining us in helping others to come to Christ. You can make your gift online at fromhisheart.org and request the series in the format of your choice. Open your Bible now, if you can, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. And let's see if we can isolate the I in your love, and you can surrender that back to God and remove it. Here now is Pastor Jeff.
1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We want to look at the next three characteristics of love that Paul gives us here, so that we can understand more about what this love, God's love, agape love, what does it really look like? See, agape love is the highest kind of love. That's Christian love. That's God's love for us, and that's the love that He wants from us to Him, and the horizontal love He wants us to give to other people. So three characteristics we want to look at today. Number one, agape love is not boastful or arrogant. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love doesn't play the braggart, as one translation says. Another translation says, love doesn't parade its accomplishments. It's not anxious to impress other people. Now, the Corinthians were big at bragging about how I can do this and I can do that, and they had factions. I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas. They had their little favorite preachers, and they would boast and brag about their spiritual gifts and all these things, their gifts and their talents. And Paul said, well, that's not love, because love doesn't brag. Hey, love is humble. Second characteristic. Agape love is not self-seeking or self-serving. Love does not act unbecomingly, verse 5. It's not rude, and it does not seek its own. Rude people really don't care about you. They're not thinking about you. They're just thinking about themselves. That's why they do things that are offensive and are rude, because it's like, well, who cares about you? It's all about me. And the Bible makes it clear, hey, agape love, it does not seek its own. It's not selfish. Philippians chapter 2 says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. all of us have trouble with selfishness. Self is the biggest hurdle and the biggest challenge to every single person. It's the biggest problem for every one of us. It's the biggest problem for every Christian. And you say, well, what is self? Self is the flesh. See, if you take the word self, spell it backwards, F-L-E-S, and add an H, you get flesh. Flesh and self are connected. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, a non-Christian, all that person has is the flesh. All they have is self. And the root of sin is self. But for a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in. And so then there's a struggle inside. Who is going to be in control? Are you going to be filled with the Spirit and let the Spirit control? Or is self going to fight and say, no, I want to be in control? There's a little poem that says, two natures dwell within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. Hey, but I say walk by the Spirit. Because if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We struggle with self and selfishness. And love, agape love, that's why it shows you can't do it, I can't do it. It's God doing it through us, the Lord's Spirit doing it through us, because we are going to be by nature selfish. And agape love is others-centered. It's not self-centered and self-focused. Think about marriage. So many marriages run into trouble. Why? Because of selfishness. You just boil it down. It's because of selfishness. Because the husband says, well, you know, wife, you're not doing what I want you to do. And the wife says, not verbalize this perhaps, but thinking this, well, you're not doing what I want you to do. And see, my job with Debbie is to, from God, three times, Ephesians 5, love her, love her, love her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Nourish her and cherish her. That's my job. And so I have to love her. I have to not think of my needs. I have to think of her needs. And what's her job? Let a wife see to it that she respect her husband. Ephesians 5:33. My greatest need is respect. Every man's greatest need is respect. Every woman's greatest need is love. Now, when we're selfless, we focus in on our job. And we do what God says to do. When we're selfish, we start to look at what the other person is doing. Well, you're not respecting me very much, Debbie. You're not doing this for me and that for me and the other for me. Don't you know that that shows me respect? And she can get selfish and says, well, you're not loving me very much, Jeff. You know, don't you know that that's your job description? Do I have to point it out to you in Ephesians 5? No, you know. You can go back and forth like that. And so we focus in on the other's job description. Don't do that. Love, agape love, says it's not about me. It's about you. It's about loving you. It's about meeting your needs. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Hey, if the Lord from heaven came to serve, if he washed the disciples' dirty feet, man, how much more should you and I focus on serving, especially those that we say we love, our families, those that we're closest to. Agape love is other-centered. It's not self-centered. I want to do the things that will bless and please my wife and my kids because I love them. I heard a story about a mom, and she was making pancakes for her two boys. Kevin was 5 and Ryan was 4. And she was making big pancakes. They were each going to get this big pancake. Well, the kids are all excited about the pancake, and so it was just one at a time. So when the pancake came off the griddle, well, they started to fight over who was going to get the pancake. And the mother said, this is an opportunity to teach them about selfless love. So she said, boys, she said, if Jesus were here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. And there was silence. And all of a sudden, Kevin said to Ryan, good, Ryan, you be Jesus. selfishness. I want what I want. Hey, agape love is not self-seeking. And you know what's interesting? When it says doesn't seek its own, the word for seek means to seek in worship. See, because people tend to worship themselves. When self is on the throne, you become God. You're going to worship. It all revolves around what you want and what pleases you and what will satisfy you. Somebody as well said, a person all wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. Hey, agape love is not self-seeking or self-serving. And thirdly, and finally, agape love is not easily angered. Does not, verse 5, does not act unbecomingly. It's not rude. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. It's not quick-tempered. It's not easily angered. It's not irritable. Have you ever been around somebody that's just irritable? Sometimes you can be on some medicine that can make you edgy and testy and irritable. But agape love is not like that. It's very, as Paul started out, it's patient, it's long-suffering, and it's kind. And it doesn't just go off on people because it's not easily provoked. It's not real touchy. You know, have you ever been around people that are touchy? I mean, you just say one thing, you just get a little bit on the out of bounds and they just kind of freak out on you. It's like, what's the deal, you know? Agape love's not like that. Now, jealousy has godly jealousy and ungodly jealousy. Ungodly jealousy is when you're jealous of somebody else, when you're envious of somebody else. Godly jealousy is the jealousy God has for us. He's jealous not of us, he's jealous for us. And Paul had a godly jealousy for the Corinthians. He wanted what was best for them. Anger is the same way. You can have righteous anger and you can have unrighteous anger. Now, righteous anger, we call that righteous indignation. And righteous indignation is being angry for God. Angry for God. Jesus had righteous indignation when he drove the money changers out of the temple, when he overturned their tables. And the scripture says, zeal for God's house consumed him. He was passionate and zealous and angry because the people had taken the court of the Gentiles, which is a big, huge open area, and they had turned it into a flea market. And they were stealing from people. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer, and you're making it a den of thieves. And so he cast those people out of there. He turned over their tables. He got them out of there. He was angry. Don't get the idea that love means you're never going to get angry, because God is love and God gets angry. But God is not easily provoked. God is slow to anger. And listen, if we get angry about things in the right way and we have righteous indignation, it's because we're seeing things in our world that aren't going the way God wants them to go. The people are doing things that God doesn't want them to do. And if you look at things like that and you feel a passion rising up and an anger rising up, that's not a bad thing. That shows you that you care about the things that God cares about. Let me give you an example. The issue of abortion. God hates abortion. Now, you can argue about abortion as far as people argue, well, we don't know when life begins. The pro-lifers have had a statement for a long time, and no one can argue with this. It says, abortion stops a beating heart. And everyone would agree. Well, it does do that. We might not say that's a life, but we know it stops a beating heart. Did you know that Planned Parenthood kills almost 950 defenseless babies every day? Every day. Brutally dismembers the most defenseless among us, those that can't speak, and it does it under the guise of a woman's right to choose. Listen, you don't have the right to kill somebody else. Amen. That's not what you can choose to do. You hear the statement, my body, my choice. Well, let me tell you something. That's not your body. That's another body that's inside of your body. And in 9 months, that body is coming out to live on its own. You don't have a right to kill that child. And so if you can look at abortion and it doesn't bother you, something's wrong. 950, almost 950 defenseless little babies getting murdered and butchered every single day in America through Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood makes America great. Planned Parenthood is going to bring the judgment of God on America. Hey, when Cain slew his brother Abel in Genesis chapter 4, the Lord said to Cain, hey, where is your brother Abel? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the ground. How much more the blood of millions, 60 million since Roe v. Wade, crying out to God saying, how long, O God, before you judge those who murdered us? Judgment is coming to America because of abortion. God has anger against sin. But here, righteous anger is not what gets us into trouble in interpersonal relationships. You know what gets us into trouble? Unrighteous anger. Righteous anger is you're angry for God. Unrighteous anger is you're angry for yourself. Why are you mad at home? Well, because somebody didn't do what you wanted them to do. Your son, your daughter didn't do what you wanted them to do. Your spouse didn't do what you wanted them to do. You get mad at work. Why? Because your boss didn't do what you wanted him to do. Your employees didn't do what you wanted them to do. Your coach didn't do what you wanted him to do. Your teacher didn't do what you wanted her to do. Your students didn't do what you wanted them to do. You get angry. And see, all anger is tied into self. When Cain got angry, why did he get angry? It's because he gave an offering to the Lord that the Lord hadn't authorized. God says, you come before me, you come before me with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so Abel, who was a rancher, a herdsman, he brought a lamb before the Lord. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Why? Because he came God's way and he brought a lamb. He brought bloodshed. Cain didn't do that. Cain came his own way. Cain was a farmer and Cain produced what he could produce out of the ground and then brought it to the Lord. In a basket, it looked like a county fair, and he had potatoes and yams and turnips and all sorts of pumpkin and all this stuff. Here, Lord, look what I got for you. And the Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering. Why? Because no matter how hard you try, you can't get blood out of a turnip. And so here he brings all this stuff, and the Lord has no regard for that. So Cain is angry, angry at God. And God said, why are you so angry, Cain? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, yet you must master it. Cain didn't master it. He let sin come in. He ends up killing his brother. He's mad at God, but how's he going to get back at God? So he can't attack God, so he attacks Abel, kills Abel, destroys his life. He's angry. Why? Because God, you're not doing what you should be doing. You're not doing right by me. I deserve better than this. That's at the heart of an angry person. I deserve better than this. It's all about self. All about self. You show me an angry person, a person who just will go off on you like that, I'll show you a person who's very self-centered and very self-focused. It's all about me. Hey, there is no I in love. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, and it is not provoked. I heard a story about a group of salesmen. These guys were hurrying through an airport, trying to get home. Their meeting ran late, and so they just had enough time, if they ran, to get to the airplane. And so they're hustling through the airport so that they don't miss their flight. And they, in their hustle for their flight, one of them hits a table where a vendor had a table with apples and knocks over the table. The apples go flying. It's a big mess. And they saw the mess and they looked at their watch and said, man, I'd love to help, but can't. I can't miss my flight. And so they kept on going, except one guy. One guy in that group, Christian guy, he looked back and he saw the apples all over the place and the proprietor, a young girl, trying to gather them up. And he said, I can't leave. And the guys are like, yeah, you can. We're going to miss our flight. He said, just tell my wife I'll catch the next flight. I gotta help this lady. And so he stopped and he went. And the girl there, just a young girl, she was crying. She was blind. And he knelt down. He said, I'm so sorry that we hit your table. He said, here, let me help you. And he started gathering up the apples. And he was inspecting the apples with her. And he was putting the bruised ones in a different basket. And he helped her set up her display again. And he said, I'm so sorry we ruined your display. And he said, here, he pulled out his wallet. And he said, here's $40 to pay for all the damage and the trouble. And I hope that's enough. And he turned to go. And as he was walking away, she said, hey, mister. He said, what? She said, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus? By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He sacrificed his own desires and his own schedule to help some girl. He didn't even know who she was, but love said, do it. Love said, make a difference. Love said, it's not about you. It's not about your flight. It's about helping that young girl. You know, I don't have the ability to love that way, and you don't have the ability to love that way, but the Lord can do that through us. The only way you can defeat the flesh and the self, and the only way I can do that is through the cross of Jesus Christ.
If Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life, God sees you through the righteousness of His Son, doesn't see you through the eyes of your sin. But if you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, we want to invite you to turn from your sin right now, surrender your life to Jesus in repentance and faith. And to find out more about how to do just that and what it really means, we hope you'll go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. A lot of information there, free material too to download, and it'll help you as you seek His face. As Pastor Jeff has been teaching today, we all struggle with pride, selfishness, or anger, and these things play a major role in how we love each other. The Apostle Paul said of love that love doesn't brag, nor is it arrogant, nor does it act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, it is not provoked. In Pastor Jeff's new 5-message series, he shares the insightful characteristics of godly love and how important it is to examine your heart and take stock of the way you love others, your family, your friends, and even your enemies. This new series is our thanks for your gift this month of any amount to From His Heart. And you can request the series on a USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or as an immediate MP3 download. Just call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org to request The Greatest of These is Love. Well, it happened again. We ran out of time, but we thank you for joining us today on From His Heart, and we hope you'll be able to be here next time when Pastor Jeff will have the next lesson in his The Greatest of These is Love series. So we hope you'll make it then, because we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org. www.newtestamentmissionaries.org.